Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 82.
This one's for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Jason Witt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tight end. Dallas Cowboys.
Hell yeah, man.
He's a classy older player.
Yeah.
He's getting up there in age.
People call him the dad runner extraordinaire. He's slow. He wears New Balance shoes pretty much. And
still can catch a ball, though.
He can still catch a ball. He can block a linebacker. He's good. Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Not much, man. Been watching a lot of the Olympics.
Okay, how's that?
It's been okay because I don't sleep a lot.
Okay,
so all the good stuff seems to happen at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
have you seen anything? Do you see Mark McMorris or Sean White? Or
sorry, man, I'm the wrong person. I haven't been watching. I've been playing Fortnite.
Nice. The Olympics are pretty cool, man.
Cool.
Snowboarding is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, just some of the tricks they do. Holy crap!
I've seen a couple highlights.
It's like human SSX.
Yeah.
So good.
And what's that American female snowboarder? What's her name again? She was pretty big.
Yeah, the female snowboarding was always on when I was at work.
Okay.
So I missed all of it.
Okay.
And I actually missed Sean White's one too because I was at work.
Okay.
But I watched it on YouTube when I got home.
Oh, cool.
It was like 20 seconds long.
Nice.
It was great.
That's cool.
But not much going on here.
Yeah.
I've come to a realization finally that I don't think I'm going to Fantastic Fest this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling that.
I really want to go, mm-hmm. but everything in my head is saying don't go because you're just supporting some shit that hasn't been answered yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not going to spend $5,000 for shit to get canceled again.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Like, they can announce new programmers and whatnot, but they still haven't addressed the elephant in the room.
Hey, where's Tim League?
Where's Kerry League?
Yeah.
Are they still affiliated? Are they potentially making money off this?
Oh, there's... Every time you buy a beer at the Alamo Draft House, Tim Lee gets paid.
That's true.
I bought a lot of beer at Fantastic Fest.
That's right. Yeah.
I felt kind of gross.
It did. It really did.
And a bunch of stuff came out in the last couple of weeks, like a really damning article
mm-hmm.
that like literally said that Kerry League and Tim League almost canceled Fantastic Fest at like 2 days before it actually started.
Yeah. And they lost multiple movies.
Yeah.
Over it.
Wasn't just the one.
Yeah. I suspect it was, we know it was three billboards in Suspiria. What else was canceled?
Yes. One of Adrian's friends, the night before everything got announced, found some like website back door and found a bunch of titles out.
Yeah.
And Suspiria was in there.
That's right. We all got excited.
And it disappeared.
Yeah. How cool would it have been for me to see a 4K restoration with a Fantastic Fest crowd?
In that theater?
Yeah.
With that crowd?
Would have been pristine.
Oh.
Instead, I watched it on my couch, with JoJo and Sarah.
It's still pretty good.
It's still pretty fun.
So yeah, I just can't do it. I would love to see Will Lindis. I'd love to see the other Movie Bear guys if they're coming. I love all the people I met. Would love to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Show me that you figured your shit out.
Yeah,
and I'll come back.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna miss me.
Mm-hmm.
But at least that's what I can do, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You vote with your dollar for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm very conflicted. We'll see. I'm not committed to going though. That's for sure. In other news though. I mentioned before in a previous episode, I picked up a PC. I've been getting into Fortnite quite a bit. You've probably heard of that.
I have.
That Battle Royale game where 100 people jump out of a party bus and parachute into the land and pick up weapons and kill each other. And this one's very cartoonish, though. It's not really that violent. And it's just a very fun, skill-based survival shooter game. And it's a lot of fun. I've been having a lot of fun with Fortnite. So if you have it on PC, hit me up. And we'll play some Fortnite.
I beat South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Oh, nice.
It was great.
How was that scene?
It was really nasty.
Oh, really?
Nice beep job on the podcast.
I had to beep it out.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't have a way of editing that to make it smooth, so I was like, I'll just beep it out.
Yeah, that scene was pretty bad. Oh, it only got worse, if you can imagine.
No way.
But yeah, it was really good.
Funny.
It took me about 15 hours to beat.
Okay.
It's a really basic RPG.
Yeah.
No problem there.
That's cool.
I'm playing Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, how is that?
It's amazing.
Nice.
I played it on PS2 back in the day. And this is like a full, from the ground up remaster job. It's so good.
Wicked.
And I got Monster Hunter World after that. So I'm gamed up to the behind for the next, cause supposedly Monster Hunter is a 100 hour game.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
I'm good for the next little bit.
Right on, dude.
And I still watch some movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Other than Fortnite, been playing a lot of Overwatch and of course watching Champions League football, where Liverpool took it to Porto in the first leg.
In Porto.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't say I was flipping out. I was kind of just shaking my cane at the TV.
I love how Liverpool looks more balanced without Philippe Coutinho.
Oh, yeah. I think they've found their identity.
Yeah.
And it definitely helped picking up Van Dijk.
He didn't want to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
And it showed.
Yeah. Yeah. So but players like Sadio Mane and Firmino have been stepping up.
United has Sevilla
on
Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
You see Man City lost their bid for the four titles today?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they lost it in the FA Cup. 1-0.
No way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah, they're now up for three titles.
Oh, that's funny.
Bastards.
So now that you're caught up on the world of football, are you ready to move on to the next part of our show?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right, well, let's move into the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie related. I'll get things started off for us. Here's the thing. Some of us go to more drastic measures to share our opinion of movies, whether it's the podcast you're listening to right now, writing for a film website, or even just putting your thoughts on Twitter or Facebook. There's a level of trust that takes place when you have a specific audience. Now, when you're reviewing a movie, that's your perspective. And the thing is, we joke around here a lot, and I think sometimes people think we're serious, but sometimes, about 99.9% of the time, we're not serious when we say, you're wrong about this movie or whatever. Like, the thing is, like, if I recommend a movie, hey, I feel pretty good recommending it. If I dislike a movie and somebody comes back and says, well, actually, I liked it because of this, I'll say, oh, okay, cool. I'm happy for you. If you'd liked it, that's cool. But the thing is, I'm not, even for movies I don't like, I won't try to go to great lengths to talk people out of seeing a movie. I've been seeing a lot of that.
Well, you know what I say? As long as you can tell me why you didn't like it, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Just tell me why.
Oh, totally.
Don't just blankly say, that movie sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I've had it happen a couple of times where I chime in and say, well, you know what? I enjoyed the movie. Here's why. Then the person responds with, this is my feed. Don't talk to me about this. And I was like, well, all right. I'll never talk with you again. That's cool. But I think there's something very dangerous about the people who take themselves that seriously. And if you ever feel that from me, I'm probably just being a sarcastic prick. And I apologize. That's just who I am. But I would never seriously tell somebody, like, you're an idiot. Don't see this movie. Or whatever. It's just, it's nonsense.
Cool.
Rant over.
Rant out?
Yeah.
Good one. All right. My rant. The movie Annihilation opens this weekend. And I read an article. That film tested so badly because it's so weird and cool that they almost like trimmed it and cut it and made it something different.
Oh, really?
I'm so tired of hearing stories about shitty test audience that don't get science fiction movies that are like brave and real. I'm so tired of this. If you're dumb enough to take your movie to some fucking mall with a bunch of idiots, and you know damn well it's a weird flick, what the hell do you expect?
Yeah.
Supposedly Annihilation was going to be a wide release. It's now been cut down because they don't like the film anymore.
Really?
Some test audience told them it wasn't very good.
Wow.
Meanwhile, every critic I know who has seen it says it's going to be on their top 10 list at the end of the year.
Oh, damn.
And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you hear all these stories about how, you know, like, the test audience didn't like the end of 7, so they almost cut it.
Yeah, that's sad, dude.
Are you kidding me? One of the great endings ever in film history.
Absolutely.
And some stupid mall audience didn't like the ending.
Yeah, that's sad. That's terrible.
You can't kill art like that. You have to let it go out pure.
Yeah. You have to let Paramount do what they did with Mother. Put some faith in your product, dude.
And just get beat.
That's right.
Because people sure beat them for it, but they stuck behind Aronofsky.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And Aronofsky's like, I'm not going to explain it.
Yeah.
It's art.
It is. Yeah. That's, oh man. That's crazy.
So yeah, go see Annihilation.
Yeah, check it out.
I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
But I now really want to see it because not only is it as an Alex Garland film, but somebody told me it wasn't going to be good. So I really want to see it now.
Nice.
Yeah. Can't wait.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Rant right on, out. Dude. Good rant. I agree with you, man. Alex Garland, whatever he does, I'll be there, man.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't trust him after Ex Machina.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it won Oscars. Mm-hmm. It was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
The hell?
And it gave us that, his name, Oscar Isaac?
Yeah.
His awesome dance scenes in that movie. I can't handle that stuff.
So good.
It's great. Okay, so now that we have some rant action out of the way, let's move on with the rest of our show. Let's talk about Black Panther.
Ulysses Klaue plans to sell the vibranium to an American buyer in South Korea tomorrow night.
Klaue has escaped our pursuits for almost 30 years. Not capturing him is perhaps my father's greatest regret. I wish to bring Klaue back here to stand trial.
Wakanda does not need a warrior right now. We need a king.
My parents were killed when he attacked. Not a day goes by when I do not think about what Klaue took from us. From me.
It's too great an opportunity to pass.
Take me with you. We'll take him down together, side by side.
I need you here, protecting the border.
Then I ask, do you kill him where he stands, or you bring him back to us?
You have my word. I will bring him back.
Okay, so what is Black Panther all about?
Directed by Ryan Coogler, T'Challa, the king of Wakanda, rises to the throne in the isolated, technologically advanced African nation. But his claim is challenged by a vengeful outsider who is a childhood victim of T'Challa's father's mistake. God, that sounds like a spoiler to me there, IMDb. Dun, dun.
Yeah, that's right.
Chadwick Boseman, the great Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, and Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of other people there, but I just want to keep
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, like, lots of people in this film.
Yeah.
I didn't say the women who are absolutely amazing, but we'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah.
Really great film.
Yeah, man.
But man, was I a little bored in the first 20.
Really?
I thought it took a while to get going.
Okay, I enjoyed that
stuff. When Andy Serkis is like your main character for the first 20 minutes and he's not doing motion capture.
That's true.
You have a bit of a problem.
That's true. I can see that.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the opening, just talking about the background of Black Panther. And
yeah, that was cool. Stuff.
Yeah.
But then it became the Andy Serkis show.
It did. I was kind of confused by that.
Where's Black Panther? Yeah. Is Captain America coming out soon? Like something.
That's true. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it becomes a James Bond movie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, once it gets going, holy crap, this is a great film.
It is. It's really, really damn awesome. And Ryan Coogler, he's 3 for 3 now.
Yeah. If you haven't seen his first two films, Fruitvale Station and Creed, do yourself a favor.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's been good for a while.
Yeah.
This is not his first good film.
That's
if
right.
anything, it's probably his third best film.
Yeah, out of three.
Yeah.
And that's no knock on this movie at all.
None at all. But his other two were really damn great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I agree with you, man.
Creed was better than it should have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had any right to be. It was an amazing film. And Fruitvale is.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's on another level.
If you're not an absolute mess by the end of Fruitvale, you're a robot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still remember that screening we went to, and we were both emotionally done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just spent.
Yeah, he's the future, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the women in Black Panther, and they are awesome in this, because there's a group of them that are like the bodyguard to Black Panther, and they're all so strong and beautiful and amazing, and they get really cool fight scenes and action sequences. I love that about this.
And they're written properly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's more than we can say about a lot of these films.
Yeah.
Everybody in this film is written properly.
Yeah.
Including, hey, Marvel, good you found out that you had a little bit of a villain problem.
That's true.
And you fixed that.
They did in a big way.
Because Michael B. Jordan is like a revelation in this film.
He is.
Just the best Marvel villain maybe of all time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's just angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has a reason to be.
He does.
That's all they needed.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Give us a bit of motivation. Give it to a great actor. Give him stuff to work with. And hey, you've got a a good villain. A great villain.
I had a lesbian coworker tell me that Michael B. Jordan, when he took his shirt off, gave her feelings.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, yeah, he's a good-looking dude.
I can relate. No, the feelings I got was watching Chadwick Boseman's eyelashes. He's got the best eyelashes in the business, I got to tell you. But I want to stay on Michael B. Jordan for a second here. And he, well, not just him, but a couple of the characters here play kind of vessel to Ryan Coogler's ability to deliver a strong social statement. Like, he makes statements about firearms in this movie. And also, this is not, I don't consider it a spoiler. If it is, you tell me and I'll cut it.
Okay.
But there's a bit where Michael B. Jordan's character says, I'll take this weapon. I'll take it. She's like, oh, it's not for sale. And she's like, oh, was it for sale when you guys took it from the original owners? I was just like, boom. I wanted to stand up and like shout and be like, hell yeah, dude. You
good stuff.
That sent shivers down my spine.
Yeah, he is. Every time he's on the screen, he's like magnetic.
Yeah,
it's just like bam, so good. But you know, what about Chad?
He's good.
See, he stole Captain America: Civil War. As far as I know, him and Spider Man.
Yeah,
but I thought he was so great in that, and he just continues on here.
Yeah,
just you know, hitting home runs.
Yeah,
every time he's on the screen, he's got that powerful voice. It's very like strong, and every time he makes a speech, you're just like, God damn.
Yeah, dude.
You're so good.
Super calm, super collected. Yeah.
And
smart.
The fight scenes are really great. It's incredibly well shot with a female DP, by the way.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So the women, Lupita Nyong'o as Nakia, Danai Gurira as Okoyo, Letitia Wright as Shuri. All these women.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just finally have like the big giant freaking Woman of Marble movie where they just kick ass against like a really kick ass female villain.
Yeah.
We just finally have that film.
Yeah.
There's enough of them now.
They have everything they need.
Yeah. It's there. Do it. It'll make hundreds of millions of dollars opening week. It's, you will print money.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Yeah. Was it Shiri who was essentially the Q character?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And she's like, she's a shining light in this movie. Like, she's so energetic and so smart and like so proud of what she does in the movie. And I love that.
I love Shiri's like lair looks like something out of Hackers.
Oh, totally.
It's so good.
Like, yeah.
Like, everything in this film just looks so amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, what can you say? This is the new level for when it comes to Marvel. The great villain, the great everything.
Yeah.
Like, we can only hope that the new Avengers film has a villain on this level.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get it.
Yeah, definitely not.
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think we will.
Yeah.
I think this is the new standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a 5-star film. It's a 4.5-star film.
Yeah.
I had a problem at the beginning.
Yeah.
But that was 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's
the rest
true.
Of it's great.
Oh, yeah. 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 And what I really appreciated about this one is just going back and what I was saying is that it felt like, here's a Marvel movie that has a statement to make and has some messages to bring that the audiences can chew on. And I love that. I hate walking out of a superhero film going, oh yeah, well the superhero had a problem, got over it, had a fight, there was explosions, the end, and that's it. Last I'll ever think about it kind of thing. But with Black Panther, I felt like I wanted to buy a ticket and see it again right after I just watched it.
Nice.
I was really excited.
It's more than I can say about the new last Star Wars film. So
same here.
Yeah,
same here. The last two, actually. last three.
No.
We don't need to do that.
Force Awakens, good.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, watch Fruitvale Station.
Yeah,
Creed. I keep on saying that.
And Creed.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah,
probably on Netflix.
That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, Black Panther. I think anybody listening to this has already decided whether to see it. Now you have our thoughts on it.
I can't tell you how amazing it is that film made over $200 million this weekend.
That's awesome.
I guess it just shows that you don't have to have a Thor in the lead.
Yeah,
a tall, good-looking, blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want now.
Yeah,
it's gonna make money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
right on, dude. Well, let's let's move to something less exciting. I think
this is gonna be weird.
Here comes the decline of the podcast here. Well, at least the review section.
Says you.
Says me. The biggest fan of this franchise. Let's talk about 50 Shades Freed.
You do want to have kids someday, right?
Someday, sure.
You don't really sound sure.
You know what I am sure about?
Mm.
That's great steak.
Christian. Do you not want to have kids?
Of course. One day, just not now. I'm not ready to share you with anyone.
Okay, so for those unaware, what is 50 Shades Freed? Sure,
directed by James Foley, Anna and Christian get married, but Jack Hyde continues to threaten their relationship. That is the IMDb thing right there.
That's awesome.
That is it.
Did E.L. James write that?
Pretty much. Dakota Johnson, Jamie Dornan, and I'll just say Callum Keith Rennie because he's Canadian and I dig the guy. I've met
right
him.
On.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this shit is over. But then there's Adrian who's just like, I love this shit.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It is so good.
But they're not intentionally making a funny film. You're finding the funny shit in it when they're not trying to make it.
I think they did though. Like,
there's no way.
The second one felt like a fluke. Like the thing with the lipstick over his chest and it stays on him for like 3 movie days and like the stupid helicopter crash sequence. It was all so funny, but I thought it was a fluke. But this one confirms it was not a fluke. They knew what they were doing with this.
Adrian thinks this film's like some sort of comedic masterpiece, and I'm just stunned by the ineptness of it. So
it is inept in many spots, including, I'll just get this off my chest right now, I did not become sexually aroused once during this entire franchise, but I still enjoyed it.
I think Dakota Johnson's really good looking.
Yeah, they're both beautiful people,
and I think that she can actually act
because
she was in the Luca Guadagnino film, A Bigger Splash.
Right.
She's really good in it. But man, this is like, once again, two people who don't like each other. They have no chemistry. Mm-hmm. And boy, can you see it on the screen.
It's so evident. Yeah, you're going, wait, why do you love him again? Why are you getting married?
Yeah, Jamie Dornan is just like a zombie.
Yeah.
He's no emotion. He's just like, oh no. And Johnson's good, but she has nothing other than like sulking.
That's true.
It's really terrible. And you know, the weird guy who had a bad childhood and likes to beat women for fun, and the woman who was trying to change him, and like, fuck, ladies, if I may, you deserve better than this.
Absolutely.
You really do.
They do.
And if people are actually still paying for this, I paid for it because we were going to review it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have seen this.
Yeah.
And there was like 4 people at the screening I was at.
Yeah.
So nobody else is seeing it either.
That's true.
It's really fucking bad.
It'll find legs on home release because I'm definitely going to buy the 4K UHD trilogy box set. That's definitely going on my shelf.
I was so pissed that I couldn't give it a 0-star in Letterboxd. It wouldn't let me. Made me do a half star. I'm like, that's not true. Dude, I don't like that.
It's so funny though. Like, there's this in the movie, she gets a bodyguard and he's like, you won't notice, you won't even notice me, except you notice him in every scene. Like, there's a scene where she goes to work and her caddy coworker follows her into her office and closes the door and they're talking about work stuff or whatever. And then you see the security guy poke his head through the window to make sure she's okay. And it's like, it's some lady, dude, like, calm down. Oh, it's so funny. And like, there's a sequence where Christian breaks into her office pretty much while she's in a meeting. And the author she's talking with looks like a freaking GQ model. And he's like the handsomest dude you've ever seen. And
he was on Teen Wolf.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I need to watch that show.
Go watch some really shitty television. Okay. I used to watch Teen Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on Teen Wolf.
Okay. So that explains the handsome factor. But the author walks out and then Christian's like, oh, he's good looking. And he's getting all defensive and over jealous. And it's ridiculous and it's stupid. But I still laughed at the whole thing because he's like the richest man on the planet and he's threatened by some dude who's good looking and talking to his wife.
And he fucking just butchers a Paul McCartney song on the piano.
That was a war crime.
Yeah, maybe I'm amazed. Oh my God. Yeah. So terrible. By the way, James Foley directed Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What?
That's right.
He's
a genius.
How the mighty have fallen, because that's just an absolute genius film.
Yeah.
This is Twilight without the bad CG for me to laugh at.
Yeah, and that's what it started out as. Right?
I know, but at least it had that like that shit like wolf transformation. And then they're like, wolf noise!
That's right.
But this has nothing.
Yeah. What kept me laughing throughout this whole movie, and this may sound really mean, but it's evident to me that the author has never been in love, has never loved, has never been loved. And this is her idea of like a fantasy romance. And there's just something really sad about that because, and I know it sounds silly to nitpick the 50 Shades franchise, but nothing they do or say is what any couple talks like in real life. But there was something funny about somebody who has never experienced a relationship trying to write about a romantic relationship. I found something really hysterical about that, and that kept me laughing.
I'm so happy this is over.
Yeah. What if they make more, dude?
They can't.
No. They closed it off.
Yeah.
They did not leave it open.
That was such a touching credit scene. It's like, oh my God.
Montage.
I'm like, you've really put the nail in the coffin here. We're never going to get another one of these. This is so awesome.
Yeah. That's a big takeaway for that.
Negative 5 stars.
Negative 5. I'd give it about a 3 out of 5.
Oh, dude, I'd give the franchise a -6.
Dude, it's the first one sucked, but 2 and 3 are kind of amazing.
Says you. You're wrong. Oh.
Yeah. How'd you like the car pursuit?
Oh my God.
There's a scene where she's driving the Porsche and all of a sudden she's a James Bond stunt driver.
Lose him, Anna. Yeah.
How can you not love that?
Inspiring words from Christian Grey.
Yeah. And this, she's like
driving beside a fucking train and like driving like millimeters apart from it. I'm just like, I give up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Adrian's soaking it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just freaking out and wishing I brought a towel to sit on at theater. Terrible. some of the lines are really just make you smash your forehead. I'll maybe cut this if this is too spoilery, but there's a bit where she says in the heat of the moment, she's like, I know you think you're gonna be a shitty dad, but you're not. It's like, ooh, that's a strong argument you got there.
No, the best line in the movie is when they're trying to apprehend somebody and they need something to tie him up with, and Anna's like, oh, I think we have something for that.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, the two security guards. They're like, oh, we don't have handcuffs. And she's like, oh, yeah, I think we have restraints or something.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
I laughed so hard. Oh, it's genius. It's so good. So that's 50 Shades Freed, and I'm sad there won't be another one.
It'll be number 3 on his midway list.
That's right. It's going to be up there, dude. I guess we can.
You probably will buy the UHD 4K version.
Yeah, I definitely will. I definitely will.
That's gotta be one of you.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, get ready for that tweet along, or I'll sit down and watch all 3 in a row without touching myself. I'll stop there. Okay, so let's move on to our next movie. Let's talk about Early Man.
This is good.
Hi.
And she's going to help us win the game.
Oh, why would she do that?
Well, she gets to play on the sacred turf in front of thousands of fans.
Glad to be on board. So, what formation do you normally play?
Formation?
4-4-2 or 4-3-3? Who's your sweeper? Do you man mark or play zonally?
We just kick the ball about and chase it.
Okay, so what is Early Man all about?
Directed by Nick Park from the geniuses at Aardman.
Yes, they are.
Early Man tells the story of Doug, D-U-G, along with his sidekick, Hognob, as they unite his tribe against the mighty Lord Nuth and his Bronze Age city. The voices of Tom Hiddleston, Eddie Redmayne, Maisie Williams, and the great Rob Brydon.
Yes. Hell yeah, Rob Brydon.
So this is a cute, well-made film.
It is.
I just didn't laugh once.
Oh, really?
I found it really amateurish.
Yeah.
I wish Aardman would advance.
Yeah.
They keep on making the same kind of film when a company like Leica keeps on raising the bar every time they make a film.
That's true.
This felt really elementary to me.
Okay.
I wished for better. I felt kind of sad after it. I walked out. I was like, this should have been so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love football.
Yeah.
I love Aardman.
Yeah.
This should have been a home run.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it a home run?
Yeah.
Why was it only a single?
That's true. And the thing is, I should chime in here and say I laughed a bunch, but I'm kind of an early man myself. Easily entertained, like the bit where they said near Manchester during lunchtime. That stuff had me howling. Like dinosaurs were fighting and cavemen were.
And they were like, it was that joke. They're like, early man United.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm a Man United fan. I didn't think that was funny.
I chuckled at that one. Yeah, I was like, but yeah, it was. It's hard to defend though. Like I mentioned this just before we started recording, like I enjoyed it. I had enough fun with it that I was entertained while watching it, but it didn't give me a lot to leave the theater with. Like I wasn't singing its praises, telling everybody to go see it.
But do you remember the inventiveness of the Wallace and Gromit films when you first saw them? Like, holy shit, this is like next level stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
This is worse than that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the bar has to stay high, especially for their process, and they don't release tons of movies Disney.
I still like the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's still the classic Wallace and Gromit look of it.
Yeah,
all their stuff looks the same.
Yeah,
but it has to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad.
Yeah,
like the mighty have fallen, and you know I should have loved this, but I really didn't.
Yeah,
and that's I think one of the big disappointments of the year so far.
Yeah,
and a year where nothing has really opened yet.
That's true.
So for me to say that, I think that's pretty harsh. But
yeah,
I wish I could say better about this film.
Mm-hmm.
I skip this one. Go see Paddington 2 with your kids.
Ah, and I should see that.
That sucks. Like I really want to pimp the Aardman film. I love Aardman.
Oh, totally.
Love Chicken Run.
Yeah, Chicken Run rules.
Yeah, the Wallace and Gromit movie was great.
Yeah.
The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
This is flat.
It is. Yeah. And yeah, I'm kind of an apologist on this one. And even I'm not going to try to counter that because, yeah, there were times when I was quite bored while watching it. I think for me, I was admiring like the technique. Like, it's just cool to see it in action. It looked beautiful. The animation was great. I liked the character design, and I chuckled enough that I had enough fun. But I fully admit I'm kind of the target audience here. I'm the simpleton who they're delivering bad puns and I'm laughing at them, probably because it's Rob Brydon delivering them. But it's one that I can't defend. It's tough.
I didn't even know who the voice actors were, which usually is a good thing, but they're just so plain.
They were pretty generic.
Yeah. Don't take your kids to Paddington 2. Take them to Annihilation. Let's get them growing up really quick.
That's true.
How about that?
Let's get them growed up real fast.
Real growed up.
That's right.
They'll love Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I just, it's this one hurt.
It does.
Really, it really did. I wish I could be super positive about this one.
Yeah.
I just can't.
I hear you, man.
Sucks.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah, there's not a lot to say because this movie doesn't have a lot to say, which I think is why it kind of sucks to talk about it and not have a lot of amazing things to say about it.
I think everybody owns Wallace and Gromit on Blu-ray anyway. Just rewatch those.
Yeah, check that out.
Watch A Close Shave. It's really amazing.
All right, so the next part of our show is the movie club. This is where Bill picks a movie, we watch it, come back here and talk about it. And every single time, it's a movie I haven't seen before. So I don't know how Bill knows it, but with this one, it was very obvious.
I have ESPN.
You have ESPN. Feels like it's going to rain, right? That's a Mean Girls thing for those uninitiated. And if you didn't get that reference, you need to watch Mean Girls 10 times this weekend. This episode's movie club movie is Columbus. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this movie?
So I think this is going to be a little less spoilery than we usually do because this is a pretty new film.
It is.
Came out last year. It's directed by Kuganada, just the one word. A Korean-born man finds himself stuck in Columbus, Indiana, where his architect father is stricken in a coma. The man meets a young woman who wants to stay in Columbus with her mother, a recovering addict, instead of pursuing her own dreams. John Cho, Haley Lou Richards, Richardson and the great Parker Posey.
Parker Posey rules, dude.
Parker Posey rules. So yeah, this is like, people will say this is like a Linklater film. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like a Linklater film.
I didn't think it
was. I think it's more either. Like Lost in Translation or something like that. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. yes, you're already giving me that look. I really, really enjoyed this one. I kept feeling distracted by the technique, which sounds absolutely ridiculous, because this one, I looked into it later on. He has done a lot of online video essays, right?
Yeah.
So it felt like there were some techniques while I was watching it. I was so into, like, oh, I like the way this is framed. I like the way the actors are standing. I like the way there's space between them. I like the way there's something between them, because there is something between them right now. And you remove that thing between them, and now they're together. And I just kept getting distracted by the technique. So I found it really tough to connect with it 100%.
But there's something really odd about looking at buildings and it being really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happens in this film. Like, they'll just weird architecture, and you'll be looking at it, and you'll be like, wow, lines are really cool. Like, mm-hmm. this building is really angular.
Yeah.
And you're like staring at it, and it's oddly calming.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of odd. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he also frames people looking at like the forest.
Yeah.
Really well. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly beautifully well made film, like, yeah, shot wise.
Yeah.
That's only one part of the film, though.
Like, it is.
I think you have to give it up for the actors.
Mm-hmm.
John Cho's always been really good.
Yeah.
Everybody's always like, oh, yeah, Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
He's good in Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Those aren't stupid comedies.
Yeah.
They're actually kind of well written.
Yeah. Well measured.
Yeah.
And his performance is great.
Yeah.
And he's awesome in Star Trek.
Yeah. He's been good for a while. Very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a bigger star.
He should be.
Really. And Haley Lou Richardson. Holy shit.
She's great.
She's a freaking revelation in this film. As I said, I'll keep on saying it. Best female performance of the year.
Nice.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
And as I said, Parker Posey, she was in every indie film in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
And then she kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One thing I really appreciated about this film is the way it was written. They talk to people the way people talk, you know, and there was no exposition here. He's not banging you over the head saying, oh, pay attention to this part here. They don't ask each other questions to fill in the blanks the way some lazy filmmakers do. It's just, it all felt very natural and very, it fit those characters. None of it felt out of place. So when they're talking about their feelings, or even just talking about the healing properties of a building and such, I found that really interesting. I was really intrigued by just the way they talk, because it's, exposition is kind of the redheaded stepchild of movie making, and some of it's required, some of it isn't. Some filmmakers don't use that technique at all, and some rely heavily on it, and those are usually like lazy filmmakers. But
he knows when to hit silence too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it works incredibly well. It's like a character in the film.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, this is kind of spoilerish, but there's a scene at the end in the car.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't stop crying after that scene.
Really?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
This film really hit me on a level that I don't really understand. Like, I'm not this person.
Yeah.
And these people, like, I don't have a father in a coma. I'm not a woman in Indiana whose mother's a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I weirdly seem to fall for films that are nothing like me. Like, I have this thing about where I really fall for films about people who are like going on like a trek to find themselves.
Right.
I like Into the Wild or Tracks or something like that, or mm-hmm. Wild. And this film, weirdly, like those films, hit me on a level that I don't understand.
Right.
It just does.
Yeah.
It's not me, but it is.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to, because I really can't. It just hits me weirdly.
Yeah.
And I was a mess after I saw this film.
Yeah.
It's and I'm not that person. I don't usually cry.
Yeah.
When I'm watching movies, but this film, for some reason, really hit me hard.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I know what you're talking about, because funny enough, I didn't cry once during this movie. You're going to think I'm a robot.
No.
But I definitely did get very choked up at some points, especially that particular sequence, just because you're learning things, and just the way it's shot, like the way he frames the characters, and for the emotional beat, it's just Haley Lou Richardson front and center, and she's just selling her performance, and it's easy to buy into.
And it's the little things in that scene too, like she's crying, and then Parker Posey just kind of like puts her arm on her,
mm-hmm.
and that broke me for some reason. I don't know why. Like, it's just, yeah, it's a perfect scene.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Really enjoyable though. And the thing is, after I saw the movie. And again, it sounds absolutely ridiculous for me to say I was distracted by the techniques, just because I kept trying to, like, as I was watching the movie, kind of dissect what's going on. And the thing is, the way he cuts the movie is there's very quick edits. You'll get Haley Lou Richardson looking at a building, and then the next shot, she's in a different shirt, and it's a different time of day. It's a different day. Okay. Well, all right. It's hard to keep up if you're, for me, I'll fully admit, I don't get things all the time right away. So while I was still considering two scenes ago, the movie is still trucking along. And he's not going to hold my hand during this. He's not going to say, oh, here, I'll pause the movie while you reflect, and then we'll keep going. But
the cool thing is that you still trusted him as a filmmaker to keep on going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's one that I'll definitely enjoy more the second time. I still really enjoyed it the first time, just because it's so beautiful and very calculated. And I appreciate the technique. I appreciate the way it was shot, the way it was performed, and especially the way it's written, because you know me, I hate it when I feel like the filmmaker is breaking the fourth wall because he or she doesn't trust me to follow along. This one, he's just like, here you go. Keep up if you can.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's designed to be like confusing or anything. I may be making it sound like it's confused. It's not. It's just there are some edits where it just goes scene to scene, and for me, it jarred me a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's not the first time that's come up in Movie Club, right? Where I remember when you watched Breaking the Waves, and you're like, you thought he was like beating you.
Yeah,
and I understand that. It's like stuff happens, you react to it. Just like I cried, you didn't, but you were still. It was still there. I'm perfectly cool with that.
Yeah, I felt something for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
As we said before, this is why the Oscars sucks.
Oh yeah,
because this is put out by a really small company that has no money.
Yeah,
so nobody saw this film.
Yeah,
including Oscar voters who needed DVDs to vote for this. This movie's better than Darkest Hour, friends.
Oh yeah, it really is.
Sorry, but it's a flawed system.
It is.
And by the way, so is the fucking Florida Project, you pieces of shit.
Yeah,
but yeah, fuck the Oscars.
Yeah,
but
I know what you mean though, because like, yeah, here's this first time feature length filmmaker who's made a great film, and it should be seen by everybody. And if the Oscars picked it up, and if they nominated it for what it should have been, you know, I would not argue with you if it was put up for Best Picture, Best Female Lead, Best Director, Best DP, Best Original Screenplay. I would not argue with that at all.
No, but it's a system, and you have to play within it. But yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah,
but yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, man.
As we said before, I think it's on like Hulu for free if you have a Hulu account.
Yeah.
I think it's on, I know it's on iTunes.
Right.
I think it might be on Netflix. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's available. Check it out. It's amazing. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Check it out.
It was my number 10 movie of last year.
Right on.
And I hope you get, 2 years down the line, you revisit it and it hits you hard.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, that happens, and it has happened.
I love movies like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, onward and upward.
Onward and upward. All right, what's next?
So I was hanging out with my little cousin on the weekend, and every time she comes over here, she looks at my Blu-ray collection for like an hour and just like looks at covers.
Cool.
And she picked out this Criterion disc with this really wacky cover. She's like, I want to watch this. And I'm like, this movie's really filthy. You're 13.
Yeah, you can't watch this.
And she's like, well, we've watched worse stuff than this, probably. And I'm like, well, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't care. I watched a lot of shit when I was a kid. So
that's true. Same here.
Let's get you learned.
That's right.
So yeah, we watched Ghost World.
Yeah.
The Terry Zwigoff film from 1991 with Thora Birch and Scarlett Johansson. And it's like her favorite film now. She freaking loved it.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think Adrian's seen it. So if my 13-year-old cousin can like it, I think Adrian can too.
Right on.
Yeah, Ghost World.
Nice.
Available on Criterion Blu-ray.
Wicked.
One of the great little indie wacky comedies from the 90s.
Right on, dude.
That I really enjoy it.
Cool.
Plus, I was crushing really hard on Thor Birch.
Nice. Whatever I think all of us
whatever
did.
Whatever happened
back
to
then.
Thor Birch?
I don't know. I've looked at... I haven't. Oh, here's actually what happened. I'm just... Yeah, she was beautiful and also very talented.
Yeah,
she's such
so,
a great actress.
So great in the film.
Cool.
And I hope you like it. And if you don't, we'll talk about it next episode.
Hey, all right. Right on. So, yeah, and we always encourage anybody listening to join Movie Club, and you can join us by watching Ghost World or any previous Movie Club entry, Suspiria, Breaking the Waves, Columbus, anything we've watched previously. Send us your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, and we'll read them on the show. We've had friends of the show comment on previous Movie Club entries, and that's always fun.
So yeah, I'm going to say this isn't my pick. This is my little cousin Avery's pick.
Yeah, right.
And, she wants to dye her hair green,
nice.
like Enid's hair in the movie. So,
right on, dude.
Yeah, so if you don't like it, you can yell at Avery.
Cool, I will. I'll send some hateful, what were you thinking? You dumb little kid.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. So that's Movie Club, and we hope to hear from you. And join us, will you?
Come on, people. You've all seen Ghost World.
Yeah, send us your thoughts.
Except for Adrian.
Except for me. That's right. Okay.
Ghost World has the greatest opening maybe of ever, movie-wise, period.
Nice.
Every time I watch Ghost World, I want to rewind it and watch the first 5 minutes over and over
right
again.
Right on.
I love the opening.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait.
I'm selling it hard, man.
Nice.
Selling it hard.
There you go. Okay, so I guess we can, let's move on to our next part of the show, the lightning round. This is where we just talk about, other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. Let's both kick things off, because I know we both watched this movie. This one came straight to Netflix, The Ritual. Man, this movie is awesome.
It's, why wasn't this on 3,000 screens last weekend?
Exactly.
Like, I understand you, if you buy the film and you want to put it on your area of, like, the internet, but at the same time, why can't I see what's on the big screen? This movie would have killed on the big screen.
Yeah.
People might not have gone and seen it because it has no names in it, but holy shit, this is a good film.
It is.
It's tight.
It is.
And it's effective. It's scary. Rafe Spall's a really good actor.
He's awesome.
The effects are really good for a small budget film.
Yeah, yeah.
It works really well.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
I hate the forest.
Me too.
I hate camping.
Yeah.
I hate shit carved in trees. That's creepy as fuck.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, anybody who maybe hasn't heard of The Ritual, it's on Netflix, straight to Netflix, and it's about a group of friends. How many? Four of them?
Yeah.
They want to pay homage to a friend of theirs. They go on it seems like they take like a yearly trip together or a regular kind of trip together, and they decide to go off on a hiking trip. Where was it? Like
Sweden.
Sweden. Yeah. Yeah. Like you do. Sweden.
Never going hiking in Sweden, I'll tell you that.
So they go up this mountain and they pay tribute to their friend, and then on the way back, they want to get back quickly. So they're like, let's take a shortcut through the forest. And that wasn't a part of the plan. And some stuff happens that was not part of the plan, and it's scary, dude. And it's like, it's moody, it's atmospheric, and it's the kind of fear that it felt more like they don't show you much in this one in terms of, what's fucking with them.
That's what makes the film.
Yeah.
It's the Jaws thing.
Yeah, totally.
You don't see Jaws until yeah. over an hour into the film.
Yeah.
And when you see it, it's by accident almost.
Pretty much.
It freaks the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's this film.
Yeah.
It's got the Jaws thing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, oh man, it's so effective. And just thinking about it right now, like, I woke up the next morning still freaked out about this movie.
There's nothing freakier than being in a tent and there's a shadow outside yeah. walking beside your tent.
Yeah.
That's some freaky
shit. Oh man. Oh yeah. It's so good. It's so good. So The Ritual, check it out on Netflix, and let us know what you think about that one too, because I think it's great. And any fan of horror genre stuff, you owe it to yourself to check out The Ritual.
You know, say what you will about the Cloverfield paradox, this should have been the film that debuted after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it should have been.
This film would have killed.
It would have.
People literally, they would have died.
Oh,
it would have
yeah.
been great.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like after a thrilling Super Bowl, it would have been fun to be watching a thrilling, exciting, scary movie.
Yeah.
But instead we got the Cloverfield paradox.
Yeah, a friend of mine said this movie was was like The Descent, but not underground.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That totally like weird that the forest was like the cave. Like the forest was super claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I understand. Hate forests.
Yeah.
Hate camping.
Who knew trees could be such a good character?
So good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I hope everybody likes it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that film was until I watched it. Go in blind.
Yeah.
Don't watch a trailer. Just watch it.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, friends.
Yeah. It's included with your Netflix subscription or your friend's Netflix
subscription. Who doesn't have somebody's Netflix password?
That's right. Also on Netflix, I watched Creep 2, written, directed by Patrick Bryce, who also did The Overnighters and Creep. I think he just likes trying really hard to make the audience cringe and squirm in their seats. And it worked for Creep, and in this one, it felt a little forced. As a result, I didn't enjoy this one very much.
Wow. You were a champion of the first one, too.
Yeah. I love the first one.
Which I've never seen.
Yeah, that's right. It was like lightning in a bottle, the first one. The creepy atmosphere, the Duplass just being a super freak, Mark Duplass.
Who is underrated as hell.
Yeah.
Super talented guy.
Should be in everything.
Yeah, should be a way bigger star than he is.
Yeah. He returns in this one. He's creepy, and there's stuff that happens, and at the end, I just didn't really care much, and whatever. Luckily, it was a pretty short movie, so disappointment for me. Other people might like it. If you like the first, you might still enjoy this, but wasn't a big fan.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's too bad. Then I saw When We First Met. Have you seen the?
I saw this one, yeah.
Okay. Adam Devine and Alexandra Daddario and a couple of other familiar faces.
Shelley Henning
and
Patrick, Stephen Amell.
Okay.
From Arrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's from Arrow.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoyed this one. It's not reinventing the wheel by any means.
It's exactly what you think it's going to be.
It is exactly the movie you think it's going to be, and it's going to follow every single beat you think it's going to follow. But Adam Devine kind of sells it for me. I think he's really funny. I always enjoy watching him do whatever he does, and he makes me laugh. So
he's really hit or miss with me.
Okay,
I can find him really annoying.
Yeah,
he's fine in this film.
Yeah,
Daddario is really pretty.
Yeah, she's
good in the film, but the one in the film is Shelley Henning.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
The friend of Daddario, she's quite good in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And Amell is just there to be man candy.
That's right.
He takes his shirt off way too many times in the film, by the way. He's a little too intimidating for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's, you know, if you're bored at home, it's Netflix.
It's the Groundhog Day movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He goes over and over again trying to win this girl's affection through a photo booth that puts him back in time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He gets friend zoned. And then he tries to repair that. And I've definitely been there before. Oh, man. I was always the guy friend.
Went back in time through a photo booth?
I did.
You freak.
It took way too many times to get it right. But Sarah's finally mine.
Wow.
Okay, I've said too much. Then I watched Criterion Blu-ray, Night of the Living Dead. First time viewing.
You're the one guy who hadn't seen Night of the Living Dead.
That's right. I think I maybe saw it when I was a kid, but I had no recollection, so it doesn't really count.
And you wouldn't have got any of the meaning of the film.
No, definitely not. If I watched it as a little kid, I would have been like, oh, that was dumb. But man, I really enjoy this one. It's just, it's claustrophobic. It feels very timely. And what a hell of a gut punch at the end, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I was devastated. I was like silent for a good 5 minutes after the movie ended.
We're so used to films doing stuff like that now. Could you imagine how that would have felt when it first opened?
Oh, big
time. That ending?
Yeah.
You went to go and see like a zombie film and there's like this ending.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And I'm trying to put it into perspective of that time and that social climate. Like he definitely had a lot more barriers than he has now.
Yeah.
With audiences. So I was trying to think of how it was received, and
but at the same time, the ending of that film, how much has really changed?
Yeah, exactly.
Like fuck.
Nothing has changed.
No.
And that's what makes it so sad. I think that's what's so jarring. It's like, oh man, George A. Romero was a prophet, essentially.
I gotta ask, how's the print look on the Criterion Blu-ray?
It's pristine.
Nice.
It's so beautiful. And our friend Zach Mosley actually sent me a tweet, and you read it too. He said something like, I feel like a perfect picture Blu-ray of the movie is the wrong way to see it. He said I should have seen it like over the air on a black and white tube TV. at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Totally.
And that would have been cool, too. I think that's he's probably right, but I got the Criterion Blu-ray. So.
First time I ever saw Night of the Living Dead, I bought on Laserdisc. Before there was Synapse Films, there was Elite Entertainment.
Okay.
Don May Jr. Was the first person to remaster Night of the Living Dead off the original negative.
Okay.
And that Laserdisc was off the original negative. And it was always bootlegs before. This was pristine.
Cool.
And everybody's like, oh my God, like it's so perfect.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and going, yeah, this is such an amazing film. And I understand why people like it. And why hadn't I watched it before? And then I was at a friend's house and he had a copy of it. And it was like a bootleg. And it looked like shit.
Oh, damn.
Like it was out of focus.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad it's now pristine on Blu-ray. Criterion does the great work, man.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely great. And I can't wait to dive into the extra
another
features.
Disc I have to buy. Fuck.
Yeah. That sucks. Yeah, I bought Personal Shopper and...
As you should have.
Yeah. And Silence of the Lambs. So on those are on the way.
On the Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, the Criterion. The
50% off?
Flash sale thing. Why can't
Amazon do that?
Yeah.
Save so much more in shipping.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal.
You probably ended up saving like $15.
Yeah, it was about $15.
Yeah.
Is how much I saved on two Criterions, but I'll take it, I guess. Like,
people don't understand. They're really expensive up here.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go to Amazon.ca, you're paying $40 plus tax per disc. So it sucks.
Yeah.
Two more. I've been watching The Good Place, season one.
Yeah.
That show rules, dude.
Forking awesome.
Yeah. It is forking awesome.
Have I not been talking about this shit?
I can't remember.
Oh, fuck, I love that
show. I don't
show.
Think you have, but I'm catching up now. I have 3 episodes left in season one, and I'm really loving it. And Ted Danson, he's perfect in this.
My boy Cheney.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Jason Mendoza.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Lover of Blake Bortles.
Okay. Right. I don't think I got there yet.
Okay. But,
yeah.
You'll understand.
Okay. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The episode I just watched had Adam Scott come there. And
from the Bad Place?
Yeah.
With he's Bad just, Janet?
Yeah. He's just a total jerk. And it's so funny. Yeah, I'm really enjoying The Good Place. So check it out. It's on Netflix. And they're 2 seasons in. Can't wait to catch up.
Oh, the second season's on there now?
No, not on Netflix. But okay. It's on, like, if you...
It just finished, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you like subscribe to cable, you can go to like the network website and watch them there, etc.
Nice. So good.
Yeah. And then I've been watching Bob's Burgers. I watched like the first 2 seasons and just didn't return to it. Not for any particular reason, but finished season 3 and we're on to a few episodes of season 4. It's really funny. I love Bob's Burgers.
Nice. I don't think I've ever watched it.
No, it's good. It's really funny. Like the female characters are voiced by men. So. What? It's like kind of funny. You got this girl named Tina who's obsessed with butts and boys and it's a man trying to sound like a, you know, 12-year-old girl. It's, wow. It's so funny.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So that's it for me for lightning round.
Cool. I watched a few things that you didn't watch. Continuing on with my weird music documentary watching, I watched Eric Clapton, A Life in 12 Bars, a 2.5-hour documentary about Eric Clapton and his kind of wacky, weird life, how he was a drug addict, got clean, then became an alcohol addict. And it just seemed to jump from every different kind of disease you could think about. Recreation, like drugs, alcohol, women, bands who were really bad for him.
Wow.
He's just a really interesting character. And it's not just, yeah, he's that dude who wrote that song about his kid falling off a balcony and dying, tears in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a really interesting character. Great guitar player. One of my favorites. If you don't like the band Cream, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Just Ginger Baker is the best drummer I've ever heard in my life.
Right on.
I love Cream. But yeah, Clapton, Life in 12 Bars. It's a pretty good doc. It's on Showtime.
Okay.
Quite good. Wow. And then it drops real low.
Okay.
The worst, I'm calling it now. This is one of the worst films of the year. We're talking like top 3 bad.
Really?
It's this early and I'm going to say it.
Wow.
The 1517 to Paris.
Oh no.
Clint Eastwood's worst film. And yes, folks, I saw Hereafter.
Nice.
Ooh. This film sucks. It's fucking terrible.
Damn.
So did you know some guys saved some people on a train?
Yeah.
Some Americans?
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
5 minutes of the film. Oh. The rest of it is their goddamn backstory life-wise.
Yeah.
Starting as six-year-olds.
No way. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just going to be about the event.
No. Wow. They're like an elementary school. Oh. And it's talking about their... It's oddly religious. Talking about how the kids might have ADD and the parents are like, my God doesn't believe in ADD.
Oh.
It's really odd.
Brutal.
Yeah. What's even weirder, it cuts to the kids' bedroom and they're like, let's go and play toy guns. And they pull up these really realistic looking guns.
What?
And they're shooting each other with all these realistic guns.
Yeah.
And then it pans up and the kid has a Full Metal Jacket poster on his wall and the pans over a little bit and it's a fucking Letters to Iwo Jima poster, which is like fucking Clint Eastwood movie.
Wow. He's like Michael Bay now.
Oh my God. This movie, it is so terrible. Then they like go through like basic training, a couple of them to become like Marines, and one of them learns jujitsu, and you know that's going to come to happen later in the film. And it's so fucking terrible.
Brutal.
This was so bad. Oh. I was the only person in the theater.
Okay.
And Adrian texted me during the movie, and I pulled my phone out. And I was like, fuck it. I was going to talk to Adrian.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you texting? I'm like, because it sucks.
Damn.
I had like 20 minutes till Black Panther started, so I was just texting with Adrian, watching this fucking film.
Oh, damn.
Oh, it's so terrible. Never see that film.
That sucks.
Clint Eastwood has completely lost it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Completely.
That's too bad.
Yeah. The new Chris Rock special on Netflix.
Oh, how was that?
Tambourine.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Chris used to be the GOAT?
Oh, yeah.
He's still really good. He's just not as good as he used to be.
Okay.
There's no Toss Salad Man in this one.
Oh. Okay.
It's all about him getting divorced.
Oh, okay.
It's still really good, and he's a great comedian. It's just not as funny as he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's now the fifth best, not number one.
Right, right. Still really good stuff.
Whereas Chappelle is still number one.
Yeah.
Even going away for 10 years, he came back and he was number one.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, those Chappelle specials on Netflix are jarring fresh shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My brother said that he believes Chappelle, like, evolved as a comic through those shows.
Yeah.
Like, it just reflects how far he's come along.
Yeah, he's really good. But yeah, the Chris Rock one's really funny. It's just not as good as his old stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Still really good, though. I watched one of the best foreign film nominees, also a Netflix original, called On Body and Soul. It's a really weird flick.
Okay.
But I kind of dug it.
Nice.
It takes a while to get going. It's about this man and woman who are sharing a dream.
Okay.
About being horses.
What?
Running in a meadow.
Okay.
And drinking water. And they find out that they're sharing the same dream and they kind of like connect. I'm not going to say anything more about it.
Yeah.
But it's a really strange film that I really kind of liked.
Oh, cool.
It took me a while to get into it.
Yeah.
But once I did, I was really into it.
Nice.
It's got some really graphic slaughterhouse scenes in it.
Okay.
They work in a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And it shows animals being decapitated.
Wow.
And I had to fast forward because I don't do that.
Yeah.
I can't watch that. But yeah, there's your warning.
It's
a great,
right.
It's a great film.
Would you double this with Killer of Sheep?
So Richard Linklater made a film called Fast Food Nation. I've never seen the ending of it.
Okay.
It's a slaughterhouse scene.
Okay. I haven't seen
it
either.
10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen the ending. I walked out of the theater.
Yeah.
I don't do that, but I just couldn't watch it. I was just like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't like that kind of violence.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really good film if you can get over that part. And last but not least, another film I watched with Avery because she really wanted to watch it. Pitch Perfect 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
You warned me, man.
I did.
You were like, it's like they're not even making a movie here. It's like it's...
Not even trying. Not even rewriting anything.
No, it's the same. I hated part two so much. I didn't think it was possible, but I think I hated this one more.
Yeah.
And really, folks,
Is
this an army recruitment video or what?
Oh, it seems like it. Yeah. And how about DJ Khaled, like reaction shots for no reason? What is that?
DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
No, it's that might have been actually one of my top three worst films of last year.
It's real bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
I don't
remember in the second one.
The things I do, man.
Remember in the second one, she's trying to make a name for herself. She's trying to find her own voice. And then she finds it in this one. Then she's like, no, what about my friends? I'm not going to go out like that. I'm not going to do them like that. You're like, what are you doing? Ryan, you freaking idiot. That movie sucks, dude.
And Rebel Wilson?
She needs to just go away.
Enough.
Yeah.
Just enough. It's over.
Yeah.
You're enough.
Bury her wherever they buried Larry the Cable Guy. Put them in the same place.
I said I'd never watch it, and I did. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
I
What did your niece think of it?
She thought it was terrible.
Okay.
So.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Yeah. Oh, it sucks.
She loved Ghost World, so hey, that's awesome.
That's a big win. That's cool. That's it for Lightning Round?
That is it.
All right. So what do we have coming up?
So on February 23rd, I want to point something out. The new Duncan Jones film is on Netflix on Friday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I forgot the title of it. I forgot to write it down. It just came in my head. But supposedly, it's in the same universe as Moon.
Oh, cool.
Sign
me up, dude. Yeah.
I can't wait. Support Duncan Jones.
Hell yeah.
February 23rd, Annihilation, the new Alex Garland film, director of Ex Machina. I can't wait.
Yeah, man.
I heard it's like the smartest, coolest sci-fi film in a very long time.
I can't wait. We're big champions of sci-fi here.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Cool.
At least with us.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to see it.
That's right.
I'm already calling it.
Yeah.
Game Night.
Okay, what's this?
Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams and a bunch of friends play this game, and it gets really out of hand.
Okay.
It has really weird rules where everything comes true.
Ah, so I haven't seen the trailer.
The trailer looked kind of dumb.
Generic.
Yeah. But I like Bateman. I like Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
I'll probably see it.
Cool.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
March 2nd. Do you remember at Fantastic Fest when everybody was like, what do you think the secret screening is?
Oh, yeah.
And some jerk-off was like, I bet it's Death Wish.
It was me. Yeah, I was waiting for it. I was like, bring it on. Eli Roth, homie.
You're the only person who wants to see this film.
I can't wait, dude.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a big knock on the movie, and it's the main character. I get it.
Yeah. It looks really bad. Is that actually Eli Roth?
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea it was Eli Roth.
Yeah. Wait, am I mixing up names here?
I don't know. I do like Eli Roth. I like Eli Roth on Chris Jericho's podcast.
Yeah, he's good.
They talk about slasher films or 80s TNA films.
Yeah.
Such a like encyclopedia of knowledge.
Yeah, he knows everything about every obscure movie ever.
Legit, I thought I watched a lot of movies when I was a kid. No, Eli Roth did.
Sat down and watched everything.
Yeah, he knows everything. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And Red Sparrow.
Oh, yeah. This looks cool.
The new Francis Lawrence film starring J-Law.
J-Law.
A Russian operative who seduces and kills people for some
organization
who kidnapped her or something. Looks really elaborate.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's already played in Europe.
Okay.
And I've heard good things.
Oh, cool.
I think it was David Ehrlich that said it's really heady and it's going to piss everybody off except for film nerds.
Oh, cool. So
and
that's
like,
us.
And I'm like, yep. I'm good.
Bring it on, dude. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the trailer and I think it looks good. I'm excited for this one.
Supposedly it's not the film everybody thinks it's going to be.
Okay.
So I can't wait.
Right on.
That's next episode.
That's next episode.
Yeah.
Right on. So, yeah, things are picking up a little bit. You know, we got Black Panther, got the first big, huge, big budget movie out of the way, and it was really good. So, big win.
Yeah. It's definitely better than a couple episodes ago where we only had two movies to review.
That's right. We've got some stuff to watch now. So that's always good. I guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter.
At SoundJam69. Say hi.
The show has a Twitter account. It's at @green_screen. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like. You can also find us on various podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit subscribe. Hit a like. Leave us a comment. Rate us. It'll help us find a wider audience. That's all we want from you. That's all we'll ask from you. Once again, thanks very much for checking us out, and we'll talk with you next time.
Peace.